It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I told the choir last week I'd give them a little bit of a break. We didn't have choir practice this morning, but I think we've sung enough this week, we ought to be able to pick out a couple of good songs. And I don't know about you, but what a meeting we had this week. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There you go. Thank you. There you go. It has been a great meeting. Maybe we're a little tired in the body, but I am uplifted in the spirit, and I hope that you have been this week as well. And we're going to sing about that. What a meeting. What a meeting in the air.
Glory land is not so far away.
That you did down there and any help you may have had, and of course Chrissy and Juliana for the nursery for working all week. We really appreciate you down there as well, and those who helped to prepare the meals and clean up after and all of that. It was just a steady work all week long, labor of love, and we just are so very thankful for you and all your help. And again, we had a great week of Jubilee up here, and again, many preachers came through, singing groups and all. Just a wonderful week, and we praise the Lord for what he did. I do want to mention some things this morning before we pray. And we're going to have a baptism service, actually, on the 23rd. which the 23rd is going to be Youth Sunday. And so we're going to have baptism that morning. Brother Brian's going to bring the message that night. Brother CJ will be bringing the message. And so it's just going to be a great time. Our baptisms are mounting up. We have a good number, I believe. I don't have an official number yet, but we do have a good group to be getting baptized. And so just remember that service, if you would. That would be on the 23rd. And I do want to say that we made the decision to give you the night off tonight. I want it to be a night of rest and reflection. I don't want to just bring a sermon this morning, bring a sermon tonight, and just overshadow or have you thinking about these two and just, you know, dismiss, which I know you will not dismiss those from this week, but just a time to reflect. I think the Lord wants us to really meditate and think and allow it to absorb what we've heard this week. Just spend time with your family tonight, enjoy each other's company, and again, rest and reflect. That's what's going to be for tonight. And then we'll pick services up again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So remember that. I do have some people I want to mention in prayer. Leonard Palmer, he fell on Monday. And he's been at Cobb all week long. We were able to be with him on Friday. And just remember him in prayer, if you would. Miss Dolores, she has her test and health situations she's dealing with, but also taking care of her husband. And nothing's broken, nothing like that, but his cancer has metastasized and not getting any better, just spreading. So they really need your prayers this morning. Got a lot of things they're trying to work on and figure out as far as their future, their home, care, and all of that kind of thing, all those kind of things. So remember the Palmers, if you would. They really need your prayers this morning. Miss Diane Ealing, she did have her other back surgery the other week, but she's not doing good. She has an infection. She has to go every day and for 6 weeks to have treatment. And I reached out to Brother Randy Ealing this morning, told him we love them, we're praying for them, and that's what he said. He said they're going every single day for treatment for an infection. Concerning her last surgery on her back. That could really, really, I know you have been praying, but just please continue your prayers for them, if you would. And then Miss Connie Teague, she's recovering from her surgery she had, her stomach surgery, and she's at home getting better, so just remember them, if you would. And it's good to have my grandfather back with us and my aunt back with us this morning. But they just said that my grandmother is now getting ready to have back surgery. And so there have been a lot of back surgeries lately. And that's one thing we know how to pray about around here, isn't it? It's back surgeries. And so let's just remember my grandmother, my grandfather, of course, my aunt as well. She's making things happen for them and going and coming and working and all kinds of things. But we love you guys. It's so good to see you. See you again. And we hope to drop by the house here soon to be with you. And again, just a lot of things going on, and there was something that I forgot to put in the bulletin this week, and it's my fault. It's starting. I don't have my phone with me, but the Operation Christmas Child is, we're going to start doing that. I shouldn't even mention it yet. I forgot the date on it. I'm sorry. I believe it's going to be on a Thursday. Is that right? I'll give you that. It's going to be on a Thursday. Okay? So, anyway, we'll get that in the bulletin next week. It's going to be later on this month, I think two Thursdays from now, in the fellowship hall. But we'll get that information to you. We want to get a good jump start on this for next Christmas and have a lot of Christmas boxes made. And so if you're interested in that, just come see me, and we will direct you to that. All right, you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're here. We took the time to get here. We're live, so we might as well worship and be a blessing to those that are here, but those watching on Facebook and everything else. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for this past week of Jubilee. And Father, we want to take time to reflect on the things that we heard. There were so many great words from you this past week, Lord. We would be amiss to just dismiss those things or not take a time to think about those things. Help us, Lord, to just take some time to reflect, to rest. And Father, we need rest. We need spiritual rest. We need physical rest. But Lord, help us to relaunch and give you our best, reach out to the community, keep you first in all things, Lord. And Father, we do pray for all of these this morning, the ones that we mentioned that who have had surgery, that's recovering from surgery, those who are sick, the ones that we even failed to mention this morning that I know needs prayer. Lord, we lift them all up to you. You're the one that can do everything, and so if we just lift you up, if we just call out to you, and if we just share you, then the job will get done your way. So we want to do that today. Bless the singing. Bless everything that's said and done this morning, the message. Oh, God, and I pray if there's someone here that's not saved, today will be the day of salvation for them. And for those who are saved, the majority I'm sure are, Lord, that we will just be encouraged and challenged and changed. We love you today, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Choir, will you stand with me? Church, stand with me. Turn over to page number 120. Page 120, and let's sing Victory in Jesus. Everyone sing now. I heard an old say that what a week it has been. We praise the Lord for it. But I just want to say this morning a special thank you to the choir and to our musicians. They were here every night, every day that they possibly could be, starting last Sunday morning, done a tremendous job this week. We don't give our choir enough credit, but would you put your hands together to thank the Lord and for our choir and for the way that He used them this week. They did a tremendous job. We had a couple of new songs through the week, so we're very thankful for that. And we're going to sing one of those here again in a few minutes. But let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Of course, no choir practice today, no evening service. And again, rest, yes, but reflect, yes, on what we've heard this week. We kind of shared that in our Sunday school class this morning. We kind of went back and just brought everything back to our minds that we had heard this week, and it was a great blessing. But I'm going to ask CJ, if he will, take us to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service and the offering.
Lord God, we do love you. We thank you so much. You provide everything for us. We just bring this altar and this service to you, Lord. We ask.
Jesus, your friend's about to die, but tarry he still on behind. So they laid Lazarus in a tomb and said their last goodbye, but coming down the road was Jesus right on time.
The sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. He carries His children through like He said He would. Even in the valley, God is good. This road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear him gently whispering, I'm here and all is well. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He carries his children through like he said he
to put a title by my name, but I've been to Calvary and I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery.
Yeah.
Has been to Calvary, the cross of Calvary, and even if you already have been to Calvary, there's times where you got to go back again. Amen. And talk to the Lord, but not to get saved all over again, but just to meet with Him. What a blessing that song was, and the other song, and the choir music this morning. So, so very thankful. And somebody has a, I've seen these all week, these glasses. If nobody claims them, I may put them on and preach with them. But anyway, somebody has a pair of glasses up here. All right, Ephesians chapter number 3. This morning, Ephesians 3. Whatever gas you have left in the tank, just put the pedal to the metal and let's keep going. How about that? Ephesians chapter number 3 will be our place of reading this morning. Our theme this year for Jubilee, our theme verse was Ephesians chapter number 3 in verse number 20. As you know, I've quoted it several times this past week, and the Lord gave me that during Lily's surgery time, and what a blessing that verse is to me, as to many people. But there's more verses that surround that verse, and this morning we want to look at these verses, and we want to look at the verses before verse number 20, the verse, of course, only one verse after verse number 20, verse number 21, and just look at all of this in context this morning. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to begin reading in verse number 14 down through verse number 21. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do, and the things that you're probably doing now that we may not be aware of, or the things we may not even agree with. You're in charge, and Father, we follow you to the best of our ability. Refine our faith. Oh God, help us just cling to your promises along the way. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Ephesians chapter number 3. In verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want to preach this morning on this subject, Paul's powerful prayer. Paul's powerful prayer. This is a powerful prayer here that Paul prayed. And he prayed it for the Ephesians. After an awesome week of Jubilee, I thought the subject of prayer would be a great way to finish, along with, of course, rest and reflection tonight. We started our Jubilee with prayer, didn't we? People signed the sheet of paper and came into the church, and then others prayed at home. But we started with prayer. We had Jubilee, and now I think we need to end it with prayer. And so prayer being the bread and Jubilee being the sandwich. Now, this morning, as we look at these verses, we know that Paul is writing a letter to the Ephesians. We know Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and so he's reaching out to him. He's reaching out to them concerning their walk with the Lord. This Pauline prayer is for all of us, me included. And so I want to, again, look at these verses, if I could, verse 14 down through verse number 21, of course. Again, verse number 20 being my favorite out of these verses. But these other verses mean a whole lot as well. And they're all connected to verse number 20. And so it's very, very imperative that we don't just say Ephesians 3:20 without talking about the surrounding verses. Paul's powerful prayer. Before I mention these points, I want to say, let us continue in prayer. Let us not just start in prayer like we did at Jubilee, but let us continue in prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is us talking to the Lord, and the Lord talks to us through His Word. So we could take a step back and say, let us have a close walk with God. Listen, church, we're living in a very dark world. A world where temptation is around every bend. A world where there is anger and hostility. Anywhere you go, I don't care if you're going to Wally World and back, you may lose your cool along the way. Amen, Brother Bobby? You may lose your cool. You just never know. And so it's imperative that we have a close walk with Jesus, that we receive energy from Him so we can live out spiritually the life that we need to live that's well-pleasing to Him, and we can be victorious. Number one, I want us to look at the cause in verse number 14. The cause of this prayer. Notice what he says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he talking about for this cause? Well, I believe two things are connected to this cause of this prayer. Number one, it's reflective back to verse number one. Look what Paul says in verse number one. For this cause, all right, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And then he gets to preaching, doesn't he? Paul does. He mentions all kinds of things as to why he was sent to be an apostle. It was for them. It was to present the gospel, unveil the mystery, all of those things. And then in verse 14, for this cause, it's like Paul is continuing his original thought. Okay, for this cause, verse number one, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say, first of all, the cause of this prayer is because Paul was sent to the Gentiles. He was sent to minister to them. He was sent, again, to present the gospel to them, to feed them spiritually. He was sent to pray for them. Notice verse number 2, if you would. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. Look down in verse number 4. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Look at verse number 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promised in Christ by the gospel. Look at verse number 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We can go on and on a few more verses, but he does say in verse number 14, along with verse number 1, for this cause. And so we see that this powerful prayer of Paul, he prayed this prayer for the cause of the Gentiles, for them. He wanted to intercede for them. He wanted to pray for them. He wanted to encourage them, not only by the preached word of God, but by interceding in prayer for them, is what he wanted to do. The second reason for this cause, not only was Paul an apostle to the Gentiles, but he was prisoner. Notice verse number 1 again. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Look at verse number 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we see here is he prays for the Ephesians because, one writer said, they may be concerned about him and his imprisonment. They may be concerned about him in his tribulations. You ever had a close friend, a close loved one, someone in the faith that you knew that had been walking with Jesus for years, and they started to struggle and afflictions after afflictions and tribulations and trials, and you began to worry about them. You're concerned about them, in so much it might affect your walk. And so Paul says that I want to clear the table, and he says, I want to let you know that you faint not at my tribulations for you. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He says again in verse 14, for this cause, because I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, because I'm the prisoner for the Lord, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see the cause of this prayer. Number 2 this morning, we see the Creator to whom Paul prayed. Look at verse number 15. Verse number 14, then 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so we have Paul bowing his head unto the Creator. Creator God, Father God. Again, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom? Talking about Creator God. In verse number 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The of whom gives reference to the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He says is named. This has to do with ownership. Now, I'll say this. To be named by God is to belong to God. To be named by God is to belong to Him. And so Paul is saying, he is crying out, he is bowing his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's given reference to this Creator. Now he says that there is an ownership here. Those that are in heaven, those that are on earth that know Him, He knows them and they know Him. It has to do with ownership here. And so there is the Creator to whom Paul prayed. But then I want to mention a third thing, and that is the call. There's a call to be strengthened by prayer. Notice verse number 16, if you would. That He, speaking of God the Father, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Already, Paul has named the Trinity. And so for our Jehovah Witness friends that says the Trinity is not in the Bible, they're just reading the wrong one. In fact, the New World Translation, their leader wrote it, deliberately doing away with the Trinity. We already have God the Father, we have God the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit already mentioned. And so what a blessing that is. Somebody said one time, they're here, and they gave an illustration of the Trinity. God the Father is God out of flesh. God the Son is God in flesh. God the Holy Ghost is God in our flesh. Amen. And so that's what we have here. We have a call to be strengthened. And the Bible says again in our verse that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I want to say first of all out of verse number 16 that we see that God is the source of all life. He says that He would grant you. God is the only one that can grant power. He is the source of all life. That He would grant you, according to His riches, to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That He, God the Father, would grant you. God is the one who is the source of all life. We can't grant ours. We may be able to grant a little power. We may be able to muster up a little energy. And like the song says the other day, Jaden's Call song, get ourselves together, get in our shoes, and go to work or whatever it is we're doing. We may be able to do that. But for going through difficult times, we need His power. To face adversity, we need God's power in order to keep moving and be steadfast, unshakable, and unmovable. We need God's power. And I want to say that not only God is the source of all life, but God's riches are inexhaustible. Notice what he says. That He, God the Father, would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is God bankrupt of riches? No, of course He's not. God's riches this morning, they're inexhaustible. He has inexhaustible grace. He has inexhaustible mercy. He has inexhaustible forgiveness and love. The riches of His glory are inexhaustible. You say, Brother Justin, well, I asked God to forgive me last week. I counted. It was at least 20 times. Well, guess what? He has enough to forgive you 21 times. He has enough to forgive you 22 times. Well, Brother Justin, I went to God last week and I asked him to help me, give me strength and ability to get through the day. And he did, but this is a brand new week. I'm a little bashful. I asked God to help with that again. Don't be. Don't be. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. He's got a bank full this morning, if I could say it that way. Listen, he is overloaded with resources and he has the ability. If he can save us and enable us, that he could consistently endow power and ability to keep going on. This morning, you don't have to quit. You don't have to give up. You say, Brother Justin, you're just not aware of my predicament. I may not be, but yet God is, and he could give you power. We've got too many Christians giving up this morning. Look at the empty pews. And I'm not trying to cast no negativity over Jubilee. But are we not throwing in the towel? Are we not loosening our efforts? Well, why should I try anyway? We'll never get anywhere. It'll never be like it was. Listen, this church of people this morning needs you. Don't worry about who we're not here. I know it sounds counterproductive what I just said, or contradictory. Listen, truly, do not worry about those who are not here. These people need you this morning. I need you. And we need each other. The devil wants us to get so hung up on who's out there and whatnot. Listen, they're out there because they're not tapping in to the power of Almighty God. They have not put their all on the altar. What does the Bible say? It says those that, I'm paraphrasing Justin Hale's version, if I could. Those that walk with God shall not be offended. If you walk with Jesus, listen, there may be times where somebody gives you a tongue lashing. There may be times where somebody says something you don't agree with. And I'll say like Brother Chris Hewitt preached the other night, I will probably upset you from time to time. It won't be on purpose. It'll just be because I'm human trying to do the right thing. But at the end of the day, we come for Jesus. At the end of the day, we're here because of him. So there ought to be a reconciliation of any indifferences. We come for him. But a large number of Christians have thrown in the towel. They're not abiding in Jesus. Listen, they're not allowing the heavenly power to flow through them. And it really looks like that by their actions in life, they're saying that God is bankrupt on ability. Why are you not here this morning? Not you. Why are you not here this morning, friend of mine? Why are you not in any church? One of the big reasons people say, well, I'm not going to Calvary anymore. I'm going to another church. Well, can I say something? I'm not picking. I'm not doing anything. I'm not judging. I'm just a fruit inspector. And I know some people who have left here that are no longer in church. No longer in church. Don't give me, I got another church I'm going to. If you find another church, that's wonderful. Ultimately, that's what we want, is for you to get plugged in somewhere. I'm not going to say it's not going to hurt when you leave. It's going to hurt, but I know that someone may be needing something. That's the reason why some people leave churches, whether it's our church, another church, whatnot the case may be. But a large part of people leave church and get out of church because they're simply not tapping into God's resources. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me November 19th, 2002. My family can tell me this morning. Y'all both know. Okay,
A lot of times I left the house, and you're like, oh, Lord. Oh, there go Justin. Be with him, Lord. Huh? And I want to tell you, my salvation experience hit me like a Mack truck. Someone says that they got hit by a car. There ought to be some evidence that they had a collision. And I want to tell you, I had a collision with Jesus November 19th, 2002. And my collision with Jesus, he's my strong arm, amen. You know, the commercial, the lawyer's strong arm. My collision with Jesus, my experience with him is far deeper than any ministry experience. It's going to take a whole lot to get me and my family out of ministry, especially a little. Go ahead. Do it. It won't be the first time. We'll work through it. We'll mature. We'll grow. We'll move on. Amen. But Jesus saved me, and he reached down into the mire, and he reached and he got me up, and he put my feet on a solid foundation. I'm not going to get out of this thing that easy. So let the winds blow. Let the friction take place. Let it happen if it's going to happen. Because I have a God who has inexhaustible resources that I can tap into. I shall not be moved this morning. What about you? What about you? Paul says, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is it that moves you so easy away from God? Well, I just can't believe it. I can't believe it that they said that. Well, next time, why don't you agree with them and there will be no fight? What is it that moves you? Is it lack of fruit from a ministry? Guess what? We're called to just be sowers. God gives the increase. Huh? We feel like that we put in hours, we put in, and maybe even put in years at this church of serving, and there's just not any increase. Well, are we giving what we once gave to this church? Listen, it's our job to be sowers of the word. And then somebody else comes along the way and waters it, and somebody else, some newbie that just comes to church one day, loves the Lord, he comes and he has the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. It wasn't necessarily him, but it was the word that was planted years ago. He's just the one God chose to use to reap it. But God gives the increase. A lot of times we get caught up in numbers, and listen, numbers do matter. If you got a bank account, numbers matter. Amen. Numbers matter. But God is my witness. After Brother Snyder retired, and the deacon spoke, and it was a recommendation as pastor. God knows my heart. I did not want to get in ministry again. We've been hurt already. And I was actually going to Home Depot to fill out an application. I put my our groceries up. We're living by Floyd Road in the Parsonage. I was going to Home Depot to get an application, to work a regular job, come in on Sunday, sit on the back row and leave. Before invitation. Be part of the crowd. Let somebody else deal with the heartache. Brother Snyder reached out to me, and it was just like, hey, you know, and he did offer like a position at the home, mentioned that. We met for lunch and all that. I want to tell you, workers of Calvary Children's Home, house parents, God bless every one of you. We love you. You have a calling on your life. And you know it. You won't admit it, but we'll say it. Y'all are called by God. And we love you. We love you so much. Don't we, church? Don't we love Calvary Children's Home, house parents and children? I've got one child. Brother Allen, catch me. God help. She's not bad. And listen, I'll say this. I don't believe any child is bad. I believe there's bad parenting. Not from our workers. Not from any specific parent. But children are arrows in the hands of mighty men. We got to shape our arrows. And the problem is we're living in a day and time when there's a lot of parents who bring them in the world, but they're not man enough, woman enough to assume their responsibility as raising a child. I'm about to start barking now. I don't want to scare you. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to growl. I'm not going to make a lion noise. No. I told myself I'm going to try to cut that out a little bit. But when it happens, y'all just jump on the bandwagon with me and enjoy it. Okay? I cannot stress enough. There may be someone watching on. I may be preaching to someone specifically that's watching on Facebook. If you have a child, y'all ready for it? Baseball season's starting. Here it goes. Y'all ready? I'm the pitcher. If you have a child. You know, man, that looks like Babe Ruth up there pitching. You got it right. I can pitch and hit. Then you need to be present. Someone caught it right there in the back. Trail did. He said, caught it. Be present. Oh, well, they're just going to live life their way. No, you're giving an excuse because you're not a present parent. Shame on parents who can bring kids into this world and not be around. Let me move on. The call. Listen, God's grace, parent, is inexhaustible. You say, I don't want to deal with this anymore. They're 17 years old. And I don't know what to do. I need help. I need a hamburger. I need fries. I need some food. I need help. Guess what? I'm with you. I'm with you. And I've been by Burger King a little too much lately. Okay? Pray for me, please. I was on my diet really good like a year ago. So I'm trying to cope, all right? Y'all don't look at me like that. Y'all know y'all got y'all's things too. Oh, yeah. Y'all know y'all got it. We all got it. So can I be that preacher, that pastor that's honest? And it's right down here where you are. It's hard being not just a parent, but a godly parent who cares for their child, who cares for their future, who cares for their education, who cares for their well-being. The easy thing to do is just like, hey, go ahead and live your life. But God, like Brother Berman used to say, until my toes are turned up, I will forever, Christy forever, be Lily's parent. I thought, Bro Ceylon, things would get easier raising her the older she got. But when she was a toddler, it was easy. Give her a gummy bear, you know, let her watch. Well, let's see, what? Peppa Pig? I can't believe I remember that. You know, she's fine. Say, Lily, guess what? Movie night tonight. Oh, Daddy! And that was it. I'm a winner. We're a winner. Now, and Lily knows I would never say anything to embarrass her. This is just common stuff among young people. Now, I know there's something going on when she's quiet. Goes to her room. The door closes and that's it. I say, Christy. Lily, is she okay? In her room since school. And we've been in it long enough to know now that something's going on. Because if I open that door and she's asleep, everything's fine. She's just tired. But if I open up that door, and listen, sometimes I've heard, come on, parents. Outside that door, I've heard. She knows I'm not, she's not embarrassed. She knows I'm going somewhere with this. There's something wrong. And I will be honest with you, everybody here and everybody on the internet, you know, that's the thing. You got to be exact and be ready to share what you're going to share and stand behind it. So I'll be honest with you. We're learning how to be parents to a teenager that's almost 18. Brother Brian's sister Melita, if y'all might have a counseling session here a little while later, We'll be happy to come over. Just tell us just a few things. Miss Darlene, I mean, hey, we're learning. But there's one thing about it, and I say it with my lips balled up. I'm not giving up on that girl. I'm not giving up. I'll give a little rope. We'll give a little rope. We don't want her to rebel one day. We don't want her to like I say, get in the car with somebody and move to California at night. If that means letting her go to the movie theater and hit the Zaxby's on the way home, and I got Life 360 on her phone, then everything should be okay. That's rope. If that prevents her from going to Mexico tonight, then we're going to let her go to the movies, Miss Mary Kay. Number one, while she's going to the movies, we know who she's with. We know her. We've got things in place. Got connection with God. Life 360. I can even go and wait in the parking lot if I need to until she's done. But if that's what it takes, we're going to give a little rope. But I'm not giving up on our girl. And she ain't, we're nowhere near giving. We would never do that, okay? I'm just saying. So there has to be a solution to the madness. I tell you the solution to the madness. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize. I'm not trying to sound preachy, although I'm preaching. I'm not trying to sound churchy, but what I am saying is the reality is if I'm saved, there is a store of resources in heaven. God can give me peace of mind. God could give me ability to undergo trials. God could give me the ability to endeavor and keep moving forward, be steadfast. I don't have to quit. I don't have to get out of church. I just got to keep on standing. He'll keep on giving. Just like that. So, Paul has a powerful prayer. He has a very powerful prayer. You know, it was for Paul too, and the church. This prayer this morning is not to just you, but to me as well. Again, notice what he says in verse numbers 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. Now listen to this. By his spirit in the inner man. Oh, I'm loving it. Y'all know I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not. I'm Baptist-costal, okay? But I say that because the truth that we just read. God the Father is God out of flesh. God the Son is God in flesh, and God the Holy Ghost is God in our flesh. We have the ability to be strengthened with might by His Spirit, capital S here, in the inner man. So Paul mentions the Trinity, God the Father. He mentions first. He says in verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he mentions the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he mentions the third person in the Trinity. He says that you might by his Spirit be strengthened in the inner man. He mentions in order, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We have the ability to be strengthened. Child of God, you don't have to quit. You don't have to. You say, well, I don't feel good. Guess what? You're getting closer to being strengthened. You say, I don't feel good physically. I can't even get out of bed. You're getting closer to being strengthened by God. Mentally, I don't feel good. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. Guess what? You're getting closer to being strengthened by God, because when we get to the place, well, we realize we cannot, but God can. There is a personal abandonment to self that takes place. And then we look to Him. And at that time, we have abandoned us. We have forsaken us, our life. At you want to find your life, you must first lose it, the Bible says. So we're losing our lives. We can't. We give up. We quit. We can't go no further. And we move our attention to Christ, where he says, we can. He says, I have a storehouse full of grace, if that's what you need. Full of mercy, full of forgiveness, full of power, if that's what you need. And listen, this book is a powerful book. It's alive. It's a living book. And so whenever we digest a living seed, a seed that's alive, what happens? It blooms. Listen, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but by his precious blood. Peter talks about the word of God being a seed that is incorruptible. We digest. We choose to abandon ourselves and say, God, it's all you, or it ain't going to happen. And we rest our life on that promise, on these promises, and we're dependent upon him. You will see a resurrection in your life, a spiritual resurrection. Some of you can testify this morning. Brother Justin, life is crazy. So much has happened. But for some way or the other, I'm here at church this morning. I mean, some may be saying, I didn't want to come, but I knew I needed to be there. Because if I stay home with the thoughts, the darkness, it's not good for me, so I came. You want to know how you got here this morning? It's because you trusted in this living word. Listen, it don't take a lot of faith. It just takes a little bit of faith. Just a little bit. You come with a little hope this morning. You came with a little desire this morning. You are broken. You are battered. But you came with the amount of faith thinking, I need to hear something from God. I need to hear it through music. I need to hear it through the message. However I hear it, if I get a word, I can keep on going. That's what this ministry is about at CBC. Is receiving what you need to keep on going. We'll go ahead and bring things to a close this morning. But as they're coming, and take your time, men, coming, no rush. We have the call here. We mentioned the Creator. We mentioned the calls. But then there's the Christ. The Christ. I don't know what I should do. I don't just want to mention these three and be done. I'll give it to you. The Christ, we have the catalyst and we have the conclusion left in our verses this morning. The Christ is found in verse 17 and 18, the Christ of our prayers. He says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to stop there as they do get ready. Verse number 29. Notice that last phrase. The fullness of God. Something that is rarely preached in a Baptist church. Now, when you got saved, you did get all of Jesus. You got all of God. What is he talking about, the fullness of God? He's talking about given God yourself back to him. The question is this: are you full of God? We're not talking about salvation. That's settled. Positionally, you're going to heaven when you die if you have God. The Bible talks about we have received the earnest of the Spirit, a down payment. Don't get that misconstrued. That just means he's coming back later to get us. But we do have the Holy Spirit when we get saved. But Paul is getting into this prayer and he's talking about being strengthened by the inner man. He's talking about coming to know the love of Christ in a deeper and more intimate way. He's talking about operating out of the love of Christ. And then he says that you might be filled with the fullness of God. I think the target is of Jubilee is to come out full of God. Meaning, how we talk, God ought to come out. how we places our feet take us, God ought to be directing them. Things we handle, things we hear, things we see. The fullness of God. Listen, we have to be daily filled. He says in verse number 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled. Filled with all the fullness of God. Did you know, I believe this with all my heart this morning, that God still wants me to grow up. And you know what? That doesn't bother me to say that. Because the relationship that I want with Christ, it requires me, Miss Glenda, to grow up. There are blessings untold that he has for me and my family. But this guy has to grow up. And what I mean by that is, I want to respond well to people. I want to, I myself, I don't want to get offended so easy. And I want God to take my feet where I should go. And I want to see the right things. And I want to hear correctly. And I want to be full of God. I do. And Paul, he lays out this long prayer to the Ephesians. And let me just mention this. We see the Christ, but then the catalyst in verse number 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. The catalyst, or the way that this is to be done, is by learning Christ in a more intimate and deeper way, and his love. Falling in love with Jesus. That's the catalyst of, that's the way that we get filled with God, is by loving people like Jesus loved us and loves us. The conclusion is verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Verse number 20. Paul, he has a graduation to this prayer. And he has a word of praise. Let me just mention these couple things and we'll be through. Verse number 20, he praises God because he knows God's able to accomplish. Now unto him that is able. But then, in verse number 21, he praises God at length. He says, verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages and world without end. Amen. So there's a praise here in this graduation prayer. It graduated to praise. But then I want you to see again, and we're going to end in verse number 20 actually, but Paul's conclusion in this powerful prayer. Verse 16, it starts on base level. Us to be strengthened. Verse number 17 through 19, it's the second level. And that is we're to understand love. And verse number 20 is the third level, which is the ultimate climax, and that is knowing that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Let me just say this. That power that worketh in us wants us to start on the base level first. We need to be strengthened. That power in us wants us to understand love, which is the second level. And he wants to get us to that third level where we can say, now unto God that is able. God, I've done my part. Now the rest is up to you. I know you're able. Paul's powerful prayer. Father, we love you this morning. I pray, God, that you would take your word and apply it to all of our hearts, especially those who need it the most. We love you this morning. Thank you for Jubilee. Thank you, God, how the prayer chain was initiated and then Jubilee itself. But now we're praying to cap off Jubilee and start a brand new week. You're able, Lord. So we adopt this prayer into our lives. And I pray if someone here needs to come to the altar and just pray about anything. Somebody may want to come and give God praise, whatever it is. Or there may be salvation for someone waiting. I know it is. Let it be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And listen, the altars are open. Invitation is given, been given now. And so if you need to come, you please come. Without hesitation, without plea, come.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
God doesn't want to stop moving and working. You know, He doesn't. We're all the hands and feet of Jesus. So let's be the body this morning. Still room down here if you need to come. Of course, you can pray right where you're at, whatever you're comfortable with. There's just something about publicly coming forward. Let's pray this prayer. I need to be strengthened. I can't tackle this week without God. What about you? You've got some big things ahead of you too, I'm sure. We need the Lord this morning. So I'm finishing up this morning. We'll conclude service in just a moment. Just playing softly just for another second or two. All right. Well, church, thank you so much for coming this morning. We're not trying to hurry out the door or anything, but thank you for coming. Please remember the ladies' prayer brunch will be this coming up Thursday of this week at 11 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Remember that, and I will get more information to you about Operation Christmas Child. It'll be in the bulletin next week. Sorry about that. But, Miss Leah, off the top of your head, do you know the date on that? It's always a fourth Thursday. I knew it was on the Thursday. 1 o'clock. No food. Okay? No food, but still come. All right. Okay, all right. Well, just remember, everybody, we mentioned, grab a bulletin. You'll have everybody in the prayer list there. If there's somebody that needs to be on the prayer list, please let me know. We want to get your prayer request in there as soon as possible. All right, all hearts clear before we go. All right, we're clear. Okay, all right. Brother Ceylon, would you close us out?